Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I hesitate to tell you this, but the day after Christmas is a really good shopping day. And this morning on my way into work, I stopped and got a bunch of caramels. That is one of the stupidest things you can do before you go talk on the radio, is eat a ton of milky chocolate caramel, which is what I've been doing. And you'll hear it throughout the show today as we are live. Although this is the best of the Annie Fry Show regifted. Myself and Ethan Hannaford are here. Annie and Brad have the rest of the week off and a good portion of next week as well. So we thought we'd have a little fun and, cough right through the caramels enough to play the best segments. Now this one, it's funny because throughout the year, a lot of the things that we're playing, like the Tammy Bruce segment that's coming up, will give you a perfect snapshot of what we were at least experiencing, if not thinking, in the beginning of August. This one will not. This one is about a really unfortunate situation that producer Brad had in junior high.
It'll really open your eyes and give you a look behind, I guess almost behind Brad's eyes, looking out as to the trauma that he faced in middle school.
Do you remember this one?
I do remember this one.
I don't know that we've been given approval to play this one back the multiple times that we have. I think we got to, you know, this was part of a best of at some point, but now we're doing it again and Brad's not here. I don't really feel bad about that. Because in the latter half of the show, I'm going to play one that makes me really look really bad. So, you know, all things being even. But here you go.
The Huffington Post, where I go for all of my useless content for the show.
I love Huffington Post.
What do you love about it? Did you finish your oatmeal cream pie?
I just did.
Do you need a little more time?
I've cleaned it out of my teeth while I'm talking. I think I just really enjoy seeing spin. It's just constant. It's kind of fun.
I'm sure that there are plenty of things that we read on a regular basis that the left would say about sources that... you can read the Huffington Post and pick out, this seems to be factual. This is what they feel about it.
Oh, yeah.
Five summer activities ER doctors wouldn't let their own kids do. You think about things that we did as kids. We grew up in the 80s and the 90s that we did as kids. It is an entirely different reality than our children will ever know. Do your kids get bored?
Yeah, they do.
Do they complain about it?
Yeah. Although they've got each other, just like your kids probably do. So they don't get bored as much, I think,
as if they were. That's just when they hate on each other even more.
They get into fights over the summer.
It's not like they're like, gosh, we're bored. Let's spend time together.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end of the summer. What do you tell them if they're like, Dad, I'm bored?
I say, okay, you want me to throw your toys away? Because clearly you're not using those.
Let's get rid of that. is that what you really say?
That's actually what I say.
Yeah.
And then they know not to ask me that question because I'll do it.
Yeah.
There's so much for them to do. And I'll make a couple suggestions sometimes. But it is at this point in the summer when it gets the worst. Because they've been together for the whole, you know, 2.5 months roughly. They're starting to wear on each other a little bit. They get along pretty well, but they great, especially the boys.
What did a standard summer day look for you guys when you were a kid?
Ooh.
Oh, good question. I know that I used to play with the neighborhood kids a lot, and we invented games a lot outside. And one of them was called bike ball, where one kid had a ball and was on foot, and everybody else had bikes. And if you were on a bike, you couldn't ride through yards, but if you were on foot, you could run through people's yards.
What was the point?
You threw the ball and you hit somebody's bike. And if you hit them, they were it. And you had to switch and you got their bike.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Did summer feel like it went on forever when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really did.
But like in a good way.
Yeah. I was never like, I cannot wait for school to start, ever. But there was an excitement and a little nervousness that would come with the next school year setting in. And I went to a Lutheran school in grade school, and so you kind of knew what you were getting back into. Mm-hmm. I think if you went through the public school system, you were in new schools more frequently. I was in the same school from the time I was in 3-year-old preschool at a Lutheran school through 8th grade with, you know, the kids. I just went this past weekend to one of my dearest friend's houses. He just bought a house on a lake and he had people over and he was cooking ribs and stuff. And I hung out with him and I've known him since 3-year-old preschool, and one of my other really dear friends who I've known since 5th grade. We just went to school together. So it'd be kind of cool to go back and see those people because you knew everybody. But I guess in a public school situation, it might be a little more nerve-wracking.
Did you ever do anything really embarrassing first day of school?
Not that I recall, but you should tell your story.
Oh, I did.
The look on your face was like, do you have a story like mine? Let's hear yours first.
I bet
I
can top it.
You got one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then let me go first because I bet yours is really good. I walked into a room, and when you're in public school, you know, Collinsville High School had...
Set the age.
15?
High school.
Yeah. Multiple levels of classes, so lots and lots of rooms. So I walked into a room and sat down, and I said to a friend, another guy I've known since I was 3 years old, I still see him once in a while. I sat down to him. I said, hey, Stolarski, I didn't know you were in this class. And he's like, yeah. And I looked around. And I'm like, man, I didn't know any of these people are in this class.
You were in the wrong class.
And then the teacher walks in, and I'm like, I didn't know that guy was teaching this class. And then it dawned on me, finally, after he started to take roll call, that I might be in the wrong room.
So you walk of shame out of the room.
So hey, the walkout was tough because I realized it. And then it was, okay, now how do I tell all these people that I've realized it without looking like a fool?
Don't you just have to own it?
Yeah, you do. And I did.
And then you got to run the risk of not trying to make it too funny.
I think what I did was I stood up and I was like, ah, shoot, Stolarski, it looks like it's, I got to go to my class now.
Yeah.
good catching up with you, though.
Thanks for inviting me in here.
Yeah.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, yeah. Finger guns to the teacher, and then I was out of there. Yeah, so
what's
go
your
ahead.
Okay, so when you asked what did your summer look like, it made me realize that my childhood has a very distinct divide. In the middle of my 7th grade year, we moved from my home in Millstatt to where my parents currently live in Freeburg. And so this isn't a back to school after the summer. This is my first day at a brand new school with brand new kids, brand new everybody, whenever my first day in Freeburg was. And so I was going through super nervous, middle of the 7th grade year, didn't know anybody, made it through the first half of the day, went to lunch. They had what was it? Chimichangas type thing for lunch. And I got back to class for math class, for my first day in this math class with Mr. Schultz. And I sat down. I was kind of in the middle of of the room, like dead center was where my desk was. And I'm sitting there, and because it was that type of food, my stomach started bubbling. And Annie, you wouldn't know what this is like, but Ryan, you know how, like, when you have a fart building up, I'm going, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. And so he was like, if I just sit here, maybe it'll just kind of sneak out and it won't be loud or anything like that. And as soon as I thought that, I knocked my pencil onto the floor. And I like looked over and I was like, oh no. So I leaned over, and as soon as I reached
in, why would you lean over?
Because I had to get my pencil.
No, you leave it. It's dead.
That's gone.
It's gone. It's in the lava,
but
man.
It was in the middle of a lesson, and I was nervous, and
it's in the lava.
I went to pick it up, and as soon as my fingers touched that pencil, I lost the control.
No.
And I farted the loudest fart I've ever farted in my entire life, and everything stopped. The world stopped.
My stomach hurts right now, too.
This is your first day in a new school.
And you're what, seventh grade?
That's the worst year,
too. It's the worst year. And the kid that was sitting to my right, because I had to lean over to my left to pick up the pencil, was also one of the class clowns. So he's all over there. I look up, the teacher's face turns beet red. So, like, if you get the teacher and he starts laughing, you're in trouble. So the whole class started laughing. I look over at the class clown, and he's sitting there with his hands up like, whoa, you almost knocked me out of my chair.
Oh, my gosh, Brad, I'm so happy you're okay telling this story.
Yeah,
Brad.
Well, all you could do is laugh at it, because otherwise
you do?
I laughed and died in the inside.
Did you ever recover from that in your life?
Never recovered.
Still not?
Nope. Wow. I was doing fine until I told you guys about it. Now I'm
yeah,
done.
You would almost recreate it. Like,
it's been wonderful being on the show. I'm going to go outside and die now.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Yeah, yours is better than mine. And I had a feeling when you said that. I'm like, man, if something came to mind that fast, then it must be pretty bad.
There's no professional obligation to share that story whatsoever.
No, there is not. No, seriously, did people find out about it outside of the class?
Oh, yeah, I was legendary.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
It's like, hey, you're that new kid that farted in Mr. Schultz's class, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. Wow. Man, a fart in a class can do that, though. It can really change your trajectory.
Yeah.
Was socially among your peers, or mixed company even, if you had mixed company in your peer group, was there ever a time growing up where it was just socially accept, like everybody understood everybody farts and there's just farting happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With mixed company?
Oh, well, I don't know about mixed company.
No.
I guess it would depend on what you described as mixed company, but
first of all, I have never in my lifetime lived in a world where girls ever did that in front of each other and just like accepted it. But there is a generational thing that has happened where people they're not as ashamed of it as
I tell you what was weird is we tried to pitch a TV show as a cooking show. We tried to do a cooking show.
Can't wait to hear how this fits
with this girl named Penny. And she was very charismatic and she was a good cook and she was just great for a show. So we did a pilot with her. And she, like, from day one would just be like, hey, is it cool if I fart? And we were like, well, I guess, I mean, no.
How do you,
or yes, it is. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm not going to tell you you cannot fart. So she's like, okay. And she would just let him go, man. And that show never got picked up and I still don't know why.
I got to pee so bad right now. It's not even funny. Oh, my gosh.
That was all off air, though. So the show not getting picked up didn't have to do with the farting.
I would blame it.
I'd still blame
the gas.
Like, yeah.
Well, the whole point of this was, I was supposed
to. She melted the tapes we
sent. Remember when we started this
networks
with the Huff Post?
Oh, yeah. There was a story there.
Didn't see this coming? Couldn't have possibly planned it? Couldn't have made it better.
Oh, man, Brad. I don't want to look at you differently now.
Don't.
Okay. You can't. You got to give him respect for having enough confidence to tell the story.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do.
Just like when I told my story about falling down the bleachers.
Yeah.
And then you guys, both of you had falling stories, of which Brad's, yours was funny, but Brad's was very, it's going to be a long-lasting, epic part of the Annie Fry Show lore.
People in my personal life told me about Brad's story and said, wow, that you guys told him in order.
That was the right order. It was all supposed to be about me. Like, one week I flew with the Blue Angels. The next week I went careening down in slow motion bleachers in front of all of Charlie's new high school friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you guys were laughing at me. And then we went to a break and you're like, we have more embarrassing stories. I'm like, why are you telling me this off air? You're telling them when we come back, and you did.
It took a minute. You know, that stuff happens in your life, and you kind of try to block it out.
There are people listening right now who have stories that are as embarrassing, if not more embarrassing, than Brad. Mm-hmm. I bet you more than 50% of the people listening are thinking of their own story and feeling empathetic right now.
Yeah, use it to bring joy to people's lives.
Everybody's been in that situation.
Joy in my life.
Did the story end the same way is the question. I mean, just the situation. Day one. New school, seventh grade. I mean, that sounds like somebody made it up in She's All That or something. Some random high school
movie. The story of him falling down in the theater was his very first date ever.
Brad, you really got a track record here. That's incredible.
Oh, man. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are grateful for you. Day after the Missouri primary, and everybody put your hand up in the air and wave. Say, bye, Cori Bush. See you later. Go find something else to do. Apparently, she's going to tear down Apex Kingdom. She said that. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Cori Bush sent packing, among a lot of other good results from the Missouri primary. We'll get to that in a little bit. I want to bring my friend Tammy Bruce back on the show. Of course, author of a great book, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. She's a Fox News contributor. Tammy, welcome back to the show. A lot of news has happened since we last talked.
Yes. The world is turning, and every day it seems like it's a new roller coaster ride.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, selected by Kamala Harris. Man, everybody was thinking it was going to be the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro, and it was myself and my Australian Shepherd dog, Rosie, sitting on the bed when I got that Fox News alert that it was Walz, and I out loud was going, what? Like, that really caught me off guard.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kamala is the woman who was no one's choice, and Walz, I contend, is a second choice. Obviously, you know, look, we saw Shapiro do some things that were just really debasing himself with walking back his support when he was a young man in college for Israel, talking about his IDF service, and that's when I thought, well, he is their choice, and they're asking him to do things to appease the Hamas wing of the party. And I thought, it's amazing that he would even be willing to do that. And then, if that's who this guy is, you know, look, people say we find out about ourselves when there's a crisis. Mm-hmm. I contend we find out more about ourselves when we're in the catbird seat. And we can kind of, something's out there that we want. And I think Shapiro found out about himself, something he did not like. I also think that they asked more of him, probably to condemn Israel or something, where finally he stopped and thought. And then also they finally really met and sat down. And I think that there was, well, I believe he was the first choice. And he understood finally that this was the Titanic, that this is not where you wanted to go. She's lost like 92% of her staff because of her behavior. And if you have a promising political future, which Shapiro believes he does, then you're going to be very careful about the choices you make. Mm-hmm. And I think then later he did issue a statement saying, we thought about it, and I really don't want to not be governor.
Yeah, I'm sure.
this was before the Walz announcement. And so it makes sense, because of course Walz makes no sense. I mean, she said they're trying to distance herself from her progressive leftist garbage. And then she picks her mirror image.
Right.
With the exception of, you know, him being an old white male. She picks him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, this is a guy that it's still kind of a Hail Mary moment for the Democrats, but it also means Americans have a perfect choice. They can genuinely reject without any concern the garbage that we have been put through for the last freaking decade by the Democratic Party, especially what happened with Floyd and the burning of cities and the tampons in bathrooms and allowing agents of the state and schools to take over your kid's life without telling you. That is Tim Walz. So there is a clear choice. And Trump is excited. I'm excited. And all of us should be excited.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was actually, I felt like a physical exhale when I saw that she had picked Walz. Granted, it makes the stakes a little bit higher should they win. I feel like there's no effort. You know, Joe Biden even lied. He lied to us the whole time saying, I'm going to unite people. I know how to get things done, blah, 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 blah. He made us more divided. This to me, to Kamala, like the Kamala pick looks like, I'm not even going to try to unite anybody. We're going to do this our way. And if we're able to get elected, you know, hold on tight, because the progressive, the far left progressive agenda is headed your way.
Yeah, Mark Levin, I just retweeted kind of a longish tweet from him about exactly what's happening. And what you're seeing is they have clearly, I think, acknowledged they can't persuade the American people, but they can't convince us. So what you're seeing is this full-bore Soviet-style gaslighting and propaganda campaign with the media, with the exception of certain talk radio like you, Fox News, et cetera, making, and social media, making it clear what the situation is. But if you're there, they have such contempt for their own base even, but for Americans in general, they think if they're going to, you know, have a rally introducing each other, not even mentioning the border and the economy and inflation, that you're just going to go for rappers who are twerking and jokes from, you know, a guy who's now being this extremist, as Walz is an extremist, mm-hmm. as some kind of folksy, middle of the road grandpa. All of it is a lie. From, like you noted, the Biden situation from the beginning was a lie. She's participated in the cover up. We are now heading toward major war. I don't think China's going to leave Taiwan alone. So people's families, loved ones are, who are in the military are now at extreme risk. If you went in there for an education and to see the world, what you're going to see are burning oil fields in the Middle East instead. It is these people know what they're doing. This is what's so obscene. Some people think, oh, well, they mean well. We can't even say that now. Yeah. It's like nobody means well. What they mean is to get power and money, and all of us are just like little board game pieces. We're not even human beings to them.
Right.
And so it's a joke. It's a joke to them. But we've seen the last 4 years, Americans are not dumb. Some people are very busy and not as politically involved as, of course, perhaps your audience or some of us. But the fact is they know what their daily life is, and it's awful. And Trump's got a new commercial up using Reagan's speech about, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? It's very powerful. So, yes. At least we know the Republicans through Trump have their act together more than they ever have, and that we have a chance if we understand that it is hard to accept this, but that it's possible those two extremists could win. If we just kind of think, oh, the American people wouldn't let that happen. Well, look at what we've had for the last 4 years.
Yeah. You got to double your efforts and triple your efforts. I suppose if we go to war, we could just do what Tim Walz does and just opt out of our military service and go run for office instead. We're speaking with Tammy Bruce.
Yeah, say never mind and then just abandon them.
Yeah. You get to be in the military to get the benefits of the military and the title, and then you go use that title that you decided to step away from when your unit gets deployed to Iraq. It is unbelievable.
Horrible.
To see this guy Tim Walz. As a Midwesterner myself, I mean, St. Louis is about as middle of the country as you get. I'm really getting sick and tired of like having to own him as like a Midwestern kind of guy, because the people I know are very hardworking, blue collar, white collar, both types of people around here in St. Louis that are trying to make ends meet right now. And people who have been able to afford their lifestyle have pulled back on things in their lifestyle and still can't manage to make ends meet the way they used to before. How much do you think the economy still is an overarching issue for people when it comes to filling out their ballot in November?
Well, if anything changes, things will be getting worse. We saw that scare with the market, the stock market, that has recovered slightly, but that was just, it's like you're in Pompeii and Mount Vesuvius burps and you think, oh, there's nothing, it's not going to get any worse than that. But those little earthquakes you feel are a signal that the volcano is ready to go. And we're going to be in trouble. There's no changes in the approach from the Biden administration. The problems that we have, you see them, they're being completely ignored. There's no attempt to adjust whatsoever. And I think that the American people understand, again, it's energy, of course, is one thing. Food's another thing. But it's also, my God, rents. You think, oh, I can't buy a house, but my God, you can't pay your rent.
Right.
So these are things that are going to continue horribly. The only way it's going to change is there's this understanding that the regulations on top of inflation, but Biden regulations when it comes to the production of materials is that kind of quiet underlying cancer. It costs every American household $15,000 a year, Annie. And that is not the inflation we're speaking of. We're speaking about the generalized rise in costs overall for living our lives as a whole. And those are regulations that are unnatural. And so someone like Trump is going to go in, as we've seen, we saw Trump change things in a day in 2017. We saw Biden change it back to Dante's seventh level in one day in 21, and it can happen again.
Yes,
because these are about regulations that can be reversed. But the Biden administration, they want this, and I write about it a little bit in my book, but the lack of an ability to pay for things makes you more reliant on the government.
Amen.
Raises the fear level, makes you a kind of a constant ward of the state, and then they gain more power. And then it just builds, and that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
And it can change, but it will change next year when there's a new president.
Yes, from your lips to God's ears. Yes, you will own nothing. That seems to be the goal here. We're speaking with Tammy Bruce. Her book that she's referring to, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind's Killing Agenda. I saw that you got a very, very nice review from President Trump himself. I'm yes. curious if yes. you feel like, last question before we let you go, I'm curious if you feel like Kamala Harris will ever get the interview that America needs, where she's put on the spot to actually answer unscripted questions from actual journalists.
If they can avoid it, they will. And they avoided it with Biden. They eventually did have to have him do the debates.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was a little bit better than he is now. But I think that, their goal is, because remember also what she's already avoided. The primary season is meant to introduce people to the American people, right? These candidates, that's where we're supposed to see how do people perform under fire? How do they speak to us? What do they say when confronted? The hard questions, that's what the primary season is for. And she, of course, has been gone. That has not existed for Kamala Harris. She couldn't even handle it for a few weeks. Last time she had a dropout for 2020.
That's because her party didn't like her.
Well, that's it. And just the nature of there's been books written and there's been some other articles about how she seems. And this is why my last column is saying directly, not even suggesting that her word salads and the weird stuff about her explaining the cloud computing is actually our data being not on planet Earth, that it's in a cloud. And this was in 2010, speaking to Google, when she had been the San Francisco district attorney for 6 years. And she was answering a question about searches, unreasonable searches and seizures in the Fourth Amendment. And she went on to explain that the cloud computing is a big problem because it takes, it's like it means it's in the air above us. In other words, the main, and then she wins attorney general, a person who's a lawyer facing legal and prosecutorial decisions on magical thinking about the cloud. And it's like, what else has this woman done?
Yeah.
But the articles with people who've met her and have dealt with her, words like strange and loopy and nonsense. So there's, they got rid of Biden because of his obvious cognitive issues. She seems to have something that is also having an impact on her intellectual cognitive ability to communicate.
Mm.
And it's not just we'll have, you know, some goof being the president. As we've seen, it's going to be if the Middle East continues at this rate and Israel does not have our support and everybody's got nuclear bombs, we are going to have a catastrophe that we think at the Afghanistan withdrawal was a catastrophe. That is a tiny smidgen of a drop to the nature of what's going to be happening to human beings on this planet if Americans allow this to occur. And if you see a conservative, quote unquote, complaining and whining about Vance and Trump because they're doing the wrong thing, well, when you do what either one of them have been able to accomplish, then you can speak up. But for right now, stop adding to the Democrat psyop against this whole country.
Man,
you know, this is anyway. So that I'm sorry.
I'm going to clip that and I'm going to listen to it every morning for the next 90 days just so that I can be fully motivated to come to work and do as Kamala says, do the work. That she says that phrase all of the time.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get to work. Right.
Yeah. Let's actually stop getting to work and start doing something for the American people. Tammy, we appreciate you so much. And I am so grateful for your passion on the show. We look forward to having you back very soon. And everyone needs to check out your book, Fear Itself. It's fantastic. Night with
you. I don't know about you, but it has felt just a little less Christmassy this year. Do you care to chime in on this at all, Ethan?
Well, it may have something to do with when you look outside. It's cloudy, wet, and like 48 degrees,
that's
which is like the
said.
Worst combination of Christmas anything ever.
Well, it could be colder, though, because it could be like upper 30s and still rainy, and that would be worse. Upper 40s is actually almost too warm for the season, which is why I think this year, we were kind of going back and forth on this, me and my wife, why does it feel less Christmassy this year? Because she was saying the same thing, and I didn't know if it was just us. Part of it, I think, is that we've been hosting Christmas, so we're not traveling, and it always feels like a little bit bigger deal when you're going other places. But we're kind of staying here, which is why I'm here today. I don't know about you. Christmassy?
I think that any time also that you add rain in on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, it just kind of gives it this like, this doesn't feel like it should be here right now.
It's just kind of nasty without any of the benefit of the snow. Because it's always cloudy when it's snowy.
Correct.
But it's pretty. And we're not having any of that.
No, we don't have any pretty. It's just rain.
It's been a warmer than average fall, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're into winter now.
Yeah, totally.
It just hasn't felt like it.
It feels like we had where it was like, you know, still 60 and 70 degrees even into November. And then all of a sudden, bam, we just had a week where it was like back in the 20s. It's like, okay, it got really cold really quickly. But ever since then, it's kind of just fluctuated back and forth. I don't know. This is my first Christmas with my wife. So it definitely,
it's different, right?
It definitely is different. I feel like it's still been pretty like normal in some sense. But I think that you definitely make some good points about the weather. Definitely kind of takes away some of that like Christmas vibe.
Yeah, I definitely make some good points. As usual. So this is not a time for...
Wait, did you say you make some good points?
Yeah, I make some good points. This is not a time for bragging. This is a time for a focus on others. And that is why we're here today.
You're really fitting with like the less Christmas vibes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are playing back the best of the year. So we're in the second hour now, which means we're in the second half of the year. And this one comes from October. This is when I did a Wiggins America. Now, none of the room had heard anything that I was presenting to them. And you'll hear the setup again, but I'll just briefly tell you, this is news items presented as sitcoms.
Wow, Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh, Wiggins!
Go on, everybody's counting on you to really hit this one out of the park.
Oh, yeah, I can't
wait. You actually worked on this, Wiggins America.
I did. I've been working on this for weeks
when
I have time.
Ethan, story time?
Yeah, so I'm walking by Trisha and Ryan's offices, which are
so
next
good to, have
to
Trisha
each
back.
Other, kind of, yes. She's going to be in here later today, right?
Yes.
So,
Annie, are you okay? Back.
I'm, you know, playing messenger at the moment, just passing by, and Trisha yells, Ryan! And I go, Ryan, Trisha wants you. He just said, can't. This is like 5 minutes ago at max.
Yeah. I'm working.
So I'm assuming he was
Trisha
probably...
was like, well, then go on. That's what we've been working on trying to get you to do.
Hey, this is, you know, when I find a bit and I'm like, I think I could run with this.
It's in your head until it's out.
Yeah, I gotta get it onto paper or onto the air, and that is what is about to happen.
Go.
So what I've done here is I've grabbed just some random news items from the last couple years. And I've made them into sitcoms.
Oh, my God.
So nobody has heard, literally nobody other than me has heard these yet.
So nobody could tell you no, right?
So nobody could say no. That's,
no,
the, that's how you do this.
Okay.
You just go for it and you ask permission later. Or forgiveness after the fact. No permission. So this one is, and I'll set up the news item and you'll remember what it is. This one was actually very, very recent. The first one. It is Corinne Jean-Pierre talking about how President Biden has taken extraordinary measures to lower costs. Now, of course, she's talking about this because Peter Doocy has pressed her on this. Here it is.
We understand that people are still feeling this. We get that. And we're not blind to that. That's why you hear the president pretty regularly announcing how he is going to lower costs for the American people, whether it's big pharma trying to lower healthcare costs, expanding ACA, or it is making sure that we get rid of junk fees. So, look, we know it's going to take a little bit of time. We get that.
I get that you understand that people are hurting right now. Why is it that nothing you're doing to address their concerns is working?
Is a Desilu production. The comedic
okay.
part of press secretary played by Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Did you catch that?
So that was a long I love Ducey joke.
Long I love Ducey, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of I love Lucy.
Like,
you see?
Remember what I just texted you the other day. The longer you have to explain the joke, the less funny it is.
Oh, I know.
Or will be.
We're having a good time.
I love Ducey.
I love Ducey, yeah. All right, next one. This is an economic report from Fox Business.
When you think I love Ducey in your head, do you laugh out loud to yourself?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm having a good time.
Just go on.
I'm probably in the car at my desk. I love Ducey. That's like I love Lucy. I could do something
All
with
right,
that.
All right, go. Next.
Economic report from Fox
question.
Business on Kamala's record on inflation.
She not only championed so many of the trillion-dollar spending bills that we've had over the last several years, but as vice president and therefore president of the Senate, she also cast the tie-breaking vote on two of those key pieces of legislation, which again spent trillions of dollars that we didn't have. That meant more money printing by the Fed in order to pay all those bills, and that led to the inflationary fire that has completely burned away people's wages.
These crappy days are yours and mine. Crappy days are yours and mine. Crappy days.
There you go. Instead of happy days. Crappy days.
Because
of the inflation.
You should have had the I, Donald Trump, support this message at the end of that.
I could have been in all of these. Okay, these again, we're doing news items of the
I'm
last couple years.
I'm trying to figure them out now before they get to the end. They didn't have that one figured out.
News items presented as sitcoms. Now, I felt like because we were talking about Kamala Harris there and her record in the Senate as a tie-breaking vote, we'd stick with that theme. This is Vice President Kamala Harris casting the tie-breaking vote for the Inflation Reduction Act.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
New deal. New deal.
Is that the one you were rushing through?
That's
at the
one
end?
I was just doing.
Yeah. It was very hard to tell.
Yeah. I didn't quite have as much time, you know, to finish that one, so I just stopped the music and said New Deal. Green,
that was you?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay.
Green New Deal Acres just there.
Floats so smoothly.
Jackie says that's the best one by far. Jackie.
Really? Stop. Better than I Love Ducey?
Don't encourage him.
Man, I don't know.
He'd come out of the gate swinging.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's the first three. I got two more.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. this fourth one is... now, this one's probably the oldest one. Do you remember Jamal Bowman?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what he's famous for?
He a lot of F-bombs at his rally?
Pulled the fire alarm.
So I pulled a report about Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm, made that into a sitcom.
There were some reports that began to emerge about Representative Bowman, who was seen pulling some sort of fire alarm in the Cannon House office building earlier today. We got a statement on that saying Congressman Bowman did not realize he would trigger a building alarm as he was rushing to make an urgent vote. The congressman regrets any confusion, just to clarify some things on that. When I wake up in the morning,
I don't think I'll ever make it on time. You saw that one coming, right?
No, I was letting it flow. Just in time to see the bus fly by. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamal Bowman.
Then he got charged.
And then he lost his seat.
Yeah.
Didn't really go well for him from there. All right, last one. These are news items presented as sitcoms for Wiggins America today. Okay. The last one is J.D. Vance telling his personal story coming from a poor family in Ohio.
I wanted to give people a sense of what it was like to live in a community like mine. I didn't think a whole lot of stories were told about white working class Americans. I didn't think a lot of stories were told about people who were struggling with some of the problems we were struggling with, joblessness, drug addiction, and so forth. And I thought that I could tell a story that would make people understand my family a little bit better and maybe in the process understand the struggles of a lot of families.
The Beverly Hillbilly Elegy.
Who said that?
That was actually Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You get it now? Yeah. There we go.
Slow
and
clap for
it.
Ryan.
Thank you very much. Just in my spare time, whenever I'd come across something that I go, oh, Beverly Hillbilly Elegy.
So
that
just,
makes sense.
Just real quick, how long from today until we can expect another Wiggins America with this type of production value and thought?
If you get one before the end of the year, you should be extremely grateful.
Well done. That's good.
Extremely grateful.
That's good.
Yeah.
Everyone
Thank
loves
you.
Them on the chat. Everyone's giving you high praise. Thank you for doing that.
And you know what? They did not get another one before the end of the year, so I was accurate in predicting that. This is the Annie Fry Show, the best, the regifted version of the Annie Fry Show, the best of the year. That one was a lot of fun. I really, though, loved listening to, while that one was funny, Tammy Bruce, in going back and listening to where we were in August, her just outlining where our mindset was valuable to me because we move on so fast. This is news. People ask about what it's like to work in news. It is constant. It is nonstop. And you know that it's going to be, so you just adjust to the pace. I mean, I've worked in other media. I've worked in music radio before. Nothing is as fast as this because it is never ending. And every single day, there's something new. Now, this time of year, it's usually a little bit slower. And that is a welcome break. But even going into Christmas, there were, you know, all these random pardons that Joe Biden's been issuing that you look at and you go, what the heck are you thinking? Every death row inmate except for three, he either pardoned or commuted the sentence or whatever. Like, what is going through your mind, sir, that you're like, yeah, don't worry about it. You see the testimonies of people whose families, like murderers, that the family is going, wait, we went through this process and now you're letting them out or you're doing whatever?
Right.
Like, who is pulling the strings? Because that actually looks like it is Joe Biden because it makes no sense.
Right. The drones were also kind of a freak thing, so that was kind of disconnected. But also, I thought the Pete Hegseth stuff, too, I feel like controlled a lot of some of news headlines, just with everything with the Trump transition, the Matt Gaetz stuff. So even in what is, you know, traditionally, like you said, a slow time in politics, maybe, I mean, slower compared to the craziness that was the election and everything leading up to it, but still doesn't feel like it's really going to end up being that much of a break compared to now in January 20th.
It just goes to show you the temperature that the media can create, because when they start to go on vacation, things just feel slower. In the midst of people going on vacation at all the major networks, we had a massive budget battle. And that is usually major, major news. And I'm not saying it wasn't, but it definitely wasn't the same scrutiny.
Same level.
Given to most. Yeah. That news story in March, when it will happen again, will be under a much, much greater microscope than it was now. And that's good. I'm not even saying that's bad. Now, the messengers will be criticizing it in the wrong ways, but we'll be here to talk about it. In fact, starting January 6th, the whole team's all back, all together. Now, we'll be back kind of like here and there. Me and Brad will be back next week doing shows. We're doing a show right now. This is the best of, and we have a really, really funny 2 o'clock hour. This is the funniest stuff we've done all year, so don't go away.